pray. Father God, speak to us through your eternal word, and may we heed your call on our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Peace.
Yeah.
The love of God is for all, and that's why some of us sometimes have to go somewhere else and take it there and love people in another place. And Paul said this when he was heading for Jerusalem. He said, "Compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me there." And we, Simon and I, we, compelled by the Spirit, are going to St. Helens, not knowing what will happen to us there, but having been warned that our new churches have some challenges. And you, compelled by the Spirit, are staying here at All Saints and St. Paul's, not knowing what will happen to you here, but having been warned that the interim time can be hard. And if this were the whole story, it would be rather sobering and a bit full of foreboding maybe as well for us to be excited about. But we are excited, and we hope that you are too. And not only excited, but full of joy. And facing whatever the future holds with that sense of belonging in Jesus and his love and his peace and his joy so deep within us, so much around us, that we can feel it tangibly, though we might find it hard to discover the words to express it occasionally. Peter says that this joy is inexpressible and filled with glory. And that was in one of his letters that he wrote from prison, and he was suffering so much. Paul goes on to say overarching the joy and the hardship is our mission, which is the same as that of Jesus, to finish the race and complete the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. That's what we will do where we're going. That's what you're called to do here. And just thinking back to the beginning of this year, we discerned as we listened to God that this would be a year of pilgrimage for all of us. And we knew at the time that our pilgrimage would be likely to take us away from you. And we knew that that would mean a pilgrimage for you as well. So we planted that with God's invitation, I think, in all of our hearts and minds at the beginning of the year. This year is a year of pilgrimage. And for some, it will be geographical. For us, it is. For some, it will be relational. It will be new relationships or a greater depth of them. For some, it will be vocational. And Claire has embarked on her training this year. And Sarah has been accepted for training for ordination. And Martin has been licensed as a reader. And so there are lots of vocational journeys in process at the moment. And for some, there is a pilgrimage of faith that has taken you to a place that you never thought you'd be. You've had to trust God for things that you didn't expect to have to trust him for. And you've had to believe him when he promised you things and you didn't see how that was going to emerge, how the prayers would be answered. You've had to believe and keep on holding on. Back with the geographical pilgrimage, though, for us, I'm recognizing and I'm looking out on you, people who I really love, that the geographical pilgrimage requires of us a relational heartache, because we have fallen for you. And we kind of knew and hoped that we would. But having fallen for you, now we have to wrench ourselves away. It feels a bit like that. And we have to fall in love again with some new folk that we haven't yet met, and that's quite hard to anticipate. You're the people we know, and our hearts belong to you. And just to say that I think that what happens with this kind of heart love that happens between us is that we carry you in our hearts. We don't have to let you go. In one sense, you sit there in the space that will always be reserved for you, and it will never belong to anyone else. The good thing about the heart, especially when the heart is a bit broken, is that it gets bigger. It can widen. It's got an open place in it that can be occupied by others. So don't be afraid of brokenheartedness. God will use it for good. And the task that's ahead of us and the task that is ahead of you is this, a precious and tender one. This is what Paul said. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And you and we will be shepherds, looking after others and loving them and introducing some new sheep to God and helping them learn how to follow him and hear his voice. And that relationship was bought at such a high price by Jesus on the cross. So how can we resist him when he says, come and join in with me while I make my death worthwhile by others knowing that this is what I've done for them, not just for you. So we are sharing with him. He gave his life. He allowed his heart, his body even, to be broken for us. And that's what we'll remember shortly in communion. And it is for us to go and tell folk who don't yet know it and to share the love out of our own slightly broken hearts, because they will be a bit, I think, at the moment. And so this is what we'll need. You will and we will. Three things. Firstly, faithful courage to keep on going, and not only to keep on going, but to do some new things. In the vicarage, there is a piano, and that piano has been there for 7 years. We were given the piano by another family who didn't want it or need it anymore, and they said, would you like a piano? And we said, we'd like a piano very much, we think. One of us might play it. And we really believed that we would. And actually, the piano has sat there and it has held things. But it's never really been played. It's never sung again in those 7 years. And so now it is time for us to release the piano from its 7 years of poverty into 7 years, hopefully, of plenty, as a biblical image coming to me as I speak. I put it on the notice sheet that the piano was looking for a home a couple of weeks ago, and three families have said, well, we'd like that piano. And the one who is going to have the piano is a family with a young lad who is learning the piano and is going to start playing it, and it will be his piano, and it will sing, and he will learn, and they'll learn together. And in my head is a beautiful story that's to be written with this piano. The thing is, though, it sat in our house, not used for its proper purpose anyway. And I believe that amongst you, there are gifts not yet used that will be discovered in this interim time. Some of you will find yourselves doing things that you never thought you could, or that you never thought you would. And that might mean, for some of us, letting go of something. We've let go of the piano. It will have a glorious future now. And others will find that God has an invitation for you. Would you do this for me? Or how about doing this with me? Would you? And so vocationally, there may be some things emerging for some of you, or some area of ministry that you've not yet tried your hand at, and God's going to say to you, now's the time. So it will take some courage, because things like that do. And the second thing is faithful unity. And with the gospel passage that we've heard today, Jesus was praying for his disciples, not just his disciples, but you and me, on that night before he died. He prayed for unity because he knew that disunity and conflict would be one of the greatest challenges that people would face in the future. And being with our context of the moment, interim times can be times of a bit of jostling about, and people sometimes thinking, oh, this is the time when we could do this or do this or do this, the thing I like. And actually, Jesus is saying, always think of others and think of the common good and stay together united. Whatever you hope for, hold it and be in the mix with what others are hoping for, and be together listening to me as I show you what I'm inviting you into. Faithful unity. That's what Jesus prayed for. And the third thing to urge you on with is also to do with prayer, and that's being faithful in it. Continually listening to him as he tells you what the future will be and as he invites you into new things. It's his mission. It's his church, the church he bought with the blood of Jesus. It's that precious. And so we must listen carefully to him. And in our prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago, we heard him say so clearly to all of us, be still and know that I am God. This could be a really busy, frantic time for you, but that won't be good for you if you let that happen. You need to stop, and you need to stop often, and you need to turn your faces towards me and listen up well. And all shall be well then. But sometimes it won't feel like that. And so I'll tell you about my night last night. I woke up quite a few times in the night. And whenever I woke up, I thought to myself, what am I feeling? And I thought, I'm feeling frightened. And so I said to God, I'm frightened. And he said, it's okay. You don't have to be frightened. I'm here. I went back to sleep, or rather I didn't. I kept on mulling over stuff, and I said to him again, I'm still frightened. And he said, it's okay. You don't need to be frightened. And that conversation went on through the night at various points. I woke up, I'm frightened. You don't need to be frightened. It's okay. And in the end, I fell asleep not frightened anymore. And as I stand here, I'm mostly not frightened, but a little part of me still is. And I think that's okay, because I think that belongs with the bit of the broken heart part of me that knows that it's okay to be broken, because God knows his brokenness. And when he says to you, or when he said to us, I want you out of there, and I want you up there in St. Helens, we had to submit to a possible breaking in various dimensions of our lives in order to say yes to a brave new world. To help us with that, somebody has helpfully bought us a Bible in Scouse. So we don't know the language, we don't know the culture, we are going to be learning so much, and we are back with our L plates again. And so we are delighted, and we will go, and we're mostly not frightened, and there's a little bit of frightened, and then there's a conversation with God. And anything that takes us into conversation with God has got to be good. hasn't it? It really has. So when we part company with you today, we want you all to have a reminder of what we've said today, or rather what God has said to us and to you, a bookmark, and on it it says, all shall be well. And all shall be well, won't it? Father, we are so grateful for these people who we love. And as we part company with them when we have to, we know that we and they belong in you and will forever be connected. We bless you, Father, that it's like that with all your people. And we bless this faith community as it goes from strength to strength and as the kingdom is built here. And we bless St. Helens before we get there, asking that you will be so very present as we and the people there work together and learn together and build the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.